The Sons of Liberty is a politically neutral organization. We believe that the Judeo-Christian ethic has provided the principles upon which this nation was founded. It is our belief that these principles provide not only the foundation and framework for American government and society, but are also essential to the maintenance of a fair and just society. All program content is based on a Christian biblical worldview.
One of you said to me recently that we shouldn't rock the boat. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you that I am a boat rocker, rocker, rocker.
Good day, America. Welcome, Christians, conservatives, constitutionalists, liberals, libertarians, communists, Islamists, LGBTQ, RSTV, DVXYZ people, all the boat rockers in the house, and anybody else I may have missed, to the Sons of Liberty radio show here on Red State Talk Radio, where we use the Bible and the Constitution, not to see who's on the right or left, but who is on the straight and narrow. I'm your host, Tim Brown, coming to you live from the U.S. occupied state of South Carolina, the editor at sonsoflibertymedia.com, and for our Muslim friends, I'm the infidel that Allah warned you about. I hold to the book, the Bible, as the authoritative word of God. Glad that you guys have joined us this morning. If you'd like to check us out online, please do so. sonsoflibertyradio.com and also sonsoflibertymedia.com. In fact, if you're listening by way of the radio and you want to watch the video portion of the radio show, that's right, you can see the face that's made for radio. Head over to sonsoflibertymedia.com, and there you're going to see two videos at the top of the page. The one on the left side is Bradley's show from yesterday, so if you missed that and you'd like to catch it, you can do so up until 3 o'clock today, at which time he'll be on for 2 hours because it's Saturday. So be sure and check that out, 3 p.m. Eastern. Right side of the page is where we're at. Click on the play button, blow it up on whatever device you got. Look for the Rumble icon, bottom right-hand corner, and then click on that and join us in the chat. Love to have you over there. A lot of friends over there excited this morning. Congratulations, Bethany, on your chili cook-off. And we got a lot of friends over there, so good morning to you guys. And while you're over there, please subscribe to the channel. It's Sons of Liberty Radio Live. Sons of Liberty Radio Live on Rumble. Please subscribe. And then also we have beforeitsnews.com top of the page over there. So please check that out and give those guys some support. And we appreciate them putting us up the morning and afternoon show over there. Right up under where we're streaming live on sonsoflibertymedia.com, you've got a place where you can sign up for our email newsletter. It goes out late afternoon, early evening, every day. And you get all the articles we have out for that day, including the morning show archive. So please sign up for that. Yeah, we are heavily censored, and sadly, even in the email inbox, that's some of that's going on too. So if you're having problems getting the email, please click the Contact Us button at the top of sonsoflibertymedia.com and just let the office know that you're having trouble getting that. Sometimes people unsubscribe and they don't realize they've unsubscribed, or other things happen. So one final thing is the Soldier of the Cross bundle. You guys have been saying, hey, you know, maybe we got a bundle or something like that we could throw together, save a few dollars in the process. Well, we've got it. Soldier of the Cross bundle. You got Bradley's new book, The Soldier of the Cross. The shirt with the same artwork and then the Peter Muhlenberg statement on the back in your size. And a black or a silver dog tag for $34. Now, if you're double X or larger on your t-shirt size, that'll go up a couple of dollars. I think it's like $5, okay? You can also pick up the shirt by itself for $20 in the store. You can grab the book for $10. And then also the new book, All the Prophets Were Pointing to the Front, that's also $10. And then the dog tags are at the bottom. You can get those in silver. You can get those in black for $8. So be sure and check those things out there. All right. It has been a long week, and I have so many things that I want to accomplish in the week, but other things seem to want to creep in and take my time from doing those. So I still have things that I wanted to do like 2 or 3 weeks ago to get done. And I keep getting interrupted. So for whatever reason that is, as always, we have with us on Saturday, Kate Shimarani. And you know what? I didn't even have my music ready here. That's it. There it goes. Yeah, there we go. Good morning, Kate. Good to see you.
Morning. Did you see, I sat at the other end, and the light was behind me because I didn't want to disturb Dave's sister, Lulu, who is on the table. sleeping. So now I've moved onto one of the benches at the table, so you get a better view. I'm thinking about it. It is Saturday. I'm glad you said what you said. You're not getting things done. Before I start anything, because this is a glass of freshly pressed carrot and apple juice with a Green Star twin gear juicer, so it's slow. The reason you want a slow juicer is if it's fast, it generates lots of heat and it destroys the enzymes. I also have a pure juicer, which was gifted to me from Dr. Patrick Vickers. So I thought it would be good because everyone, I did a post on iodine. And iodine, of course, is used for detox, but also it's going to push out your heavy halogens that come in your water, your fire retardants, fluoride, chlorine, bromine. So this is Lugol's 2% iodine iodide. And for me, for maintenance, I always personally, I'm not telling you to do it. I have three drops, not a whole pipette, just three drops. You can paint a 2-inch square on the soft portion of your arm and where it's not going to get wet. Put it on after your shower in the morning, paint it there, and then see what it's like the next morning. If that has gone, you need iodine. And if it's nice and bright orange still, bright orange is when you painted it on, you don't. But we are constantly under attack. You know what? Some of the brands, I'm going to be affiliating because the website is kind of ready. I'm just writing the content now. So I'm going to take some vitamin B3. Which is niacin. It's the flushing kind. So in about 7 minutes, I'll be bright pink, like a well-scalped backside. And this is a pancreatic enzyme. It's 1,200 milligrams. I'm going to take that. This is natokinase, which is at the moment. Now, let me just tell you, I'll put that in quick. I would take the natokinase with nanobromelain, which is what you get from the inside of the pineapple, the bit that everyone cuts out, the stalk bit. They cut that and throw it away. That's got the bromelain in it and the enzymes. But natokinase and bromelain and N-acetylcysteine will do a mind sweep of your blood vessels. So where you've got all that plaque from eating sugar, binding to your protein, that's what furs up your arteries. And good old John, this is B17. I will soon have my own label, and I had a meeting yesterday with a company to import. So this will have my label on it, and you're going to like it very much if you're in the UK. But when I had cancer, I took 1 gram of the Laetril 3 times a day for 2 years, and then I continued, and I took it for another 3 years. So I was taking it for 5. Now I tend to take probably 1 to 2 grams a day down the hack.
You know, and that juice, I'm surprised you're not guzzling it. I actually have.
I do normally, but I can't because I look like a British pig.
No, my boys are coming in here in the evening and they're going, Dad, can we make those juices again? Can we make those juices again? They've even went out and bought their own carrots and apple, which I'm glad to see. I mean, they kind of are somewhat conscious of that anyway, but that stuff is good. It's good for you.
Yeah, and just remember, if you're making more than 8 ounces, what you saw in this glass was 8 ounces of carrot and apple. If you're drinking like glugging a liter, your body's, it's waste. You're not going to assimilate those vitamins, minerals, enzymes. You're not going to. You're better off if you only want to make it and drink it over a couple of hours, putting it in a stainless steel flask, airtight, and drinking it over a maximum of 2 hours, because after that, it's kind of dead. But you're better off drinking, you know, making it hourly. So I'm actually going to take a couple of Acidol, because if we haven't got enough stomach acid, we're not going to absorb any of those anyway. And I've actually taken some selenium and some zinc when you weren't looking in my hand. Accurate. And and Koku Ken.
And this is on for people who might be asking the question, and you, I know you've made mention of this when you were in your fight against cancer, but for people who might ask the question, they say, well, Kate, you're talking about eating right. Why are you taking all these supplements? There's a reason for that too.
Yeah. So I've just taken CoQ10, which is the heart protective enzyme, because when I get off this show, if this had a smellometer, you'd all be like salivating. I have made soup this morning, leek potato. I put a bit of broccoli in it and I put some brown rice in it. And it's smelling delicious. And I'm going to have lots of chopped raw garlic in the top and some apple cider vinegar and flax oil in it. Really, really yummy. And for dessert, I'm going to have a mashed banana with a little bit of cacao powder in it and cacao nibs. And it's just like a chocolate mousse then. That's what I'm going to have. So normally I would then have my juice, some supplements, then I would go and eat, but I'm going to have a bit of a delay. But what I'm interested in, Tim, is what you said that you're not getting things done. So because you're my bro from another mother, my brother from another mother. I'm going to tell everybody, because I think it's fair, because people are following me. Incidentally, I took magnesium, and this is a really good brand, and I'm going to be working and affiliating with them. Magnesium glycinate, and I took quite a lot of that. I think I took about 8 of these, because we don't actually take enough magnesium. Any facial twitches? We've done that on the show, haven't we?
Any of those Charlie horses.
Yeah, you and every molecule of sugar. And listen, I'm no different to anyone else. I can't have chocolate in the house. One molecule of that nasty white poison sugar is going to use up about 56 molecules of magnesium. So it's very easy with what's going on around the world, and the winter months are coming in. And then what happens is we get out a little bit, we get undisciplined and we fall out of our routine, and then we get overwhelmed by everything. And then we get very little done. We almost become the masters of procrastination. And I can fall into that. And I work much better when I'm on tight routines. Now, I work for myself. So, you know, I get to decide my hours. My patients are worldwide, so they're often in different time zones. So I noticed, you know, when I was writing stuff for the website, I wasn't getting things done. And I thought, I should have plenty of time. Why am I not getting them done? And we're constantly bombarded with what's going on around the world. And people are asking me, what's my comment? Well, it doesn't matter what my comment is. What is actually going on? I know that when 2 million people were on the streets of the UK protesting against an invasion for the Iran-Iraq war, they still went in. It made no difference. And, you know, we saw a poor woman again. She was arrested for praying in her head outside an abortion clinic. She's been arrested. No, she's not been arrested. Sorry. She's been given a notice. Yeah. That she's fine.
Yeah.
And yet we have, this is Britain. This is Great Britain. People come here because they want this way of life. They know that it's used to. And yet we have people calling for jihad on the streets. We have
the call for prayer going out over loudspeakers.
Yeah. And you know, yeah, which is noise pollution. It's noise pollution. And then we saw two or three young lads being threatened that they were going to be arrested for turning up at this rally with the English flag. Now, how is that possible? They said it's inciting violence. How can carrying your country's flag be inciting violence in your own country?
It's silly.
And then a guy did get arrested for having the English flag. It's so, look, all of that goes on. And then we all go, oh, gosh, oh, gosh. Then we see what's happening. And I haven't got a lot of power over what's happening. But what is happening is it's having a profound effect on me. And I might not think it is. But then what I did was I started to look at what I was doing in my own life around me. And I thought, well, you know what? This is having an effect on me. So this is what I did. So this morning, I set my alarm for 5 o'clock. I made the first fatal mistake. My alarm clock is broken because I've dropped it. I'm always like knocking them off. And anyone who knows me knows I'm one of these snooze. Anyway, my alarm clock. So I use my phone. First mistake. So today I've ordered a new alarm clock and the phone will stay downstairs when I go to bed. It will not be allowed upstairs. It will be plugged into charge downstairs. And that's that. So the idea is that I get to bed before 10 a.m. Actually, I went to bed last night at 6:30. I was really tired and I fell asleep. And then because I have my phone with me, people began to ring and text, and I spoke to them, and I shouldn't have done, because then I couldn't sleep. So So what generally happens is I'll go back to, if I don't get up at 5, I'll doze back off and I have terrible dreams. Why am I having terrible dreams? Because of everything that I'm looking at. So what we all tend to do, we all do it. The first thing we do is we pick up our phone. We wake up, we pick up our phone, we scroll through our social media, and we start to feel connected with everybody. It's all fake. It's a fake connection. So my plan is my alarm clock will arrive, my phone will stay downstairs, and I won't go on it at all. And so the plan is to, like, I used to get up at 4:45. So the plan is to go even more, 4:45. And then by the time I've done everything that I always do in my house, you know, my distiller, the cats, the dogs, all my routine that I do, that takes me to about 6:45. Then, you know, because I do a coffee enema as well, don't forget, and every morning. And even my coffee enema time, which I should be peaceful and reading stuff, I was taking up with loading my social media, which is also not good. So then what I plan is that then at 7 o'clock, I do my workout. My weights workout one day, and the next day is like a yoga workout, calisthenics and ballet. So that I'm doing something every day. Then take my dogs a walk, unless it's pouring from the heavens, and I'll jig that bit around. I'll do it later in the days and switch it for work. But then when I take my dogs a walk, which will be 8 o'clock, because the clocks change tomorrow, so it will be light at 8 or 10 dog walk. And then I generally will take a patient from 11 o'clock onwards, because that starts to cover American time and people generally. So I'll take patients throughout the day and in the evening. That leaves me my day then to get my work done, feel that I've done it, feel accomplished. So today I've already, because it was teeming down with rain, I got loads of work done. I've done a workout. I've had my juices. I've made my lunch. And I feel so much better in myself because I got up that early. Just by doing it one day, and I feel like, yeah, I can do this. So
yeah, you know, you've accomplished something for the day.
Yeah. So later, I have an interview in America later, but what I'm planning on doing later this afternoon is I'm going to start moving my furniture out my dining room, filling in with the plaster. And I used to decorate years ago, and I used to enjoy it, but I'm actually decorating my dining room. It might take me a good few days to do it, or even it might take me a couple of weeks, but it doesn't matter. I'm going to do it myself, save me a lot of money. But so you see, I actually feel like I can do that today because I got up. And what we've got to do, and that whole, we shouldn't be looking at social media when we first wake up. When you are about to go to sleep, and this is the other thing as well, that's why as soon as I go upstairs, that phone needs to stay downstairs. And that period of time, read a couple of pages, read scripture, read a book. And then also, when you close your eyes and you start to go to sleep, you should be almost a little bit fantasy, thinking about what you want to happen. Start, you know, if it's that you want to see your business grow, or for me, you know, I want to be doing lectures to big crowds. Imagine, I've done this before and it works. Imagine myself speaking to big crowds and that I'm joyful in it, and get into that before I go to sleep, because that will have a big effect on the chemicals released from my brain. And instead, what do we do? First of all,
yeah, mostly. Kate, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cough on you there, but no. one of the things you were saying there was, I was reading off of one of the articles that you sent, and it was talking about understanding those release of the chemicals of the brain, depending on what the body's enduring, what you're thinking about and stuff like that. And then you talked about the traumatization at the beginning, and that is exactly the course that the MK Ultra stuff follows in order to control the people, is give them trauma, then give them reward, then give them trauma, then give them a reward. And it's almost like what I just said, you're rewarded for being traumatized because you're being controlled. And so when our minds are set on those things, and we're not looking to the Lord to guide us in, and by the way, you know, some people say that it's wrong to, you know, follow those desires and dreams. It's wrong if they're not glorifying God, but you know what? The one who delights himself in the Lord, the Bible says he will give them the desires of their heart. Why is that? Because their desires are what God's desires are for them. It's not that they're opposite of what that. So I want to clarify, in case somebody says, well, I have a desire to go out here and be immoral or break the law or whatever. That's not what we're talking about at all.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's just it. These are, you know, where I'm serving, where what I've learned, I'm then speaking and teaching others, which is, you know, what we've got planned with my website. And it's not doing anything immoral. But what it isn't doing is I'm not watching TV programs with violence, sex, drugs, alcohol. I'm not watching that. I don't have a TV that I've got a TV that you can put discs in because I've got my yoga videos and my Calinetics videos. But I don't watch anything like that. I don't want to watch it. So I'm not putting it in my head before I go to sleep because that's the chemicals. And I already talked on the show and we're told in scripture, you know, in the light, first there was the Lord and the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit and the Lord are one, and they moved across the water. The water was there. And that is that electromagnetic frequency. That's what it is. It's energy. Well, what are you? You're mostly water. Every enzyme in your body is responsible for every chemical reaction. What's happening if you're watching all these things? It's going to affect your holy temple. That's exactly what it's going to do. So
can I ask a question right here before get into this? Jason's asking, does ginkgo biloba work for memory loss?
Ginkgo biloba is great for the brain, and so are lots of other things. But if you've lost your memory, it depends, you know, why have you lost your memory? There could be lots of things. It's not just physical. It's psychological. It's spiritual. Are you sleeping enough? Is your bedroom a place that will be good for sleep? Because if you're not sleeping enough, you're going to lose your memory. And what foods are you eating? Are you eating foods that will destroy your neurons? Are you eating foods that are going to poison your brain? So there's all of those things to take into consideration. You don't even know. And there are patents. What if you are bathed in EMF and you don't know what else is coming in? And you know what? When I see what CRISPR and ARP technology working with the Pentagon and the Gates Foundation and what they're capable of, all of these things need to be considered. I was watching a long time ago, and I cannot find it, a video. I think I've talked about it on the show, of a lady who had a stroke, and she had lost her ability to speak. All the words from her brain to her mouth got jumbled. And this doctor gave her this drug intrathecally. I cannot find this. If anybody can find it, please, you know, do tell me. That's intrathecally into the spinal fluid. And he tilted her for however long it was, half an hour. And then when they eventually stood her up with help, she, after a while, she began to speak, and she began to speak with clarity. And she said she had a fog in front of her eyes and she couldn't reach the words. And you know what? Then I went on and I was reading that the memories are not in the head. They're in like an iCloud, and that they're channeled through. Now that would go with the whole god of Mithras and your chakras, but it would also go with the pineal gland, our connection with our higher self, our Holy Spirit. So when all those channels get blocked, that's why they want it blocked. So I think you have to look at all of it, mind, body, and soul, every physical aspect. Don't just rely on ginkgo biloba. Don't just rely on that. You need to start looking at, are you eating nutrient-dense, clean food? Are you drinking clean water? Remember, your Wi-Fi will open your blood-brain barrier 2.45 to 5.8 gigahertz. Remember, if you've got somebody that's already got dementia or Alzheimer's, you don't want them to have low blood sugar because that will open the blood-brain barrier. So this is where you want to give them, you know, good foods, low glycemic load foods, and regularly, so that you keep their blood sugar, you know, an undulating line as opposed to spikes and troughs. Dave's arrived and he's coughing and spluttering and sneezing, and he's not looking his best, folks. Dave is on a downward spiral. Yeah, I'm afraid.
Jason has come back with, he says he has nonstop noises that sound like two fax machines arguing, EMF attacks. And, Jason, I can tell you that I have just a tad of tinnitus at times. But for the most part, it's pretty much shut down. Now, I don't know. You guys know I was doing several things at once. I know there was a big shot to it with Corey Hillis's products. And, you know, you can get Corey's stuff at fixemfs.com. You can pick that up. And I know they work. I mean, I'll wear the...
Yeah, they do work. I sleep with the little bean bag under my...
Yeah, under the better bed. Z's. Yeah, under the mattress.
I've got it underneath my bed. And yeah.
Yeah, because you've got, if you've got a box spring, then you've got all that wire and that's pulling all that stuff in there. Then, you know, I got Kate's grounding mat. So we...
I've got my feet on that.
We've used those. And with each thing that I've done, the LifeWave patches, with each one of those things, what I've had is just a deeper rest. And I got to tell you, I'm actually looking forward to going to bed at like 7:30 or 8 o'clock because of the fact it gets dark here. And so, yeah, people can pick up those as well. But it gets dark here very early. Wavelengthpatch.com, wavelengthpatch.com. But it gets dark very early here. And so, you know, our clocks are going to change. Your clock's changing next week, I think. Ours changing.
Tonight.
Ours is going to change next week. So we're going to have to get our act together for next week.
Yeah, I'm sure it's.
You'll be
yeah,
an hour early. But that sleep is so important. I didn't even wake up at all last night. Not one time. And I usually I'm in bed about, like I said, about 8:30, 9 o'clock now. And some people say, well, you're an old man now. No, well, I'm not old, but I'm getting in there and I'm noticing the difference in how fresher I feel in the morning. In other words, alert and vibrant. And, you know, I feel like I got a good night's sleep versus when, well, like last night, I still got a good bit of sleep, but I stayed up a little bit because my boys were up and they had a friend over. So we had some conversations, some things that we were doing, but normally I'm in the bed very early and that sleep is very good. And you know, the Bible talks about God giving his beloved sleep. I mean, giving them rest. So if we're restless, why is that? Are we doing something probably we shouldn't be doing? And I'm not necessarily speaking immorally, but we're putting things in our body, or we got the TV on, or we, you know, just loaded our body up with alcohol or something like that. You've done those kinds of things. You're seeing the effects of it. That's what it'll do. It'll deprive you of your rest.
Yeah, you don't have a real, when you drink alcohol, you're not sleeping properly. That's an alcohol-induced sleep. It's not sleep. And your liver is trying to metabolize that alcohol when it should be cleaning and doing every bit of detox. And, you know, going to bed, so what we should be doing is not watching. And I've been guilty of it. This is that. It's called the devil's tool. There's an apple on the back. It will suck you in. And people send me stuff and I start looking at it. And the other thing is, it's, first of all, you shouldn't be looking at any electronic devices for a couple of hours before you sleep because of what it does to your pineal gland. We shouldn't be doing any of that. And it's very easy to start falling back into bad habits. And you need to be mindful. And you need to control it. And you can control it. So you have to be very, very disciplined. And so that's what I've done. I've thought, I need to, you know, I need to help myself here. I need to get that clock. I need to, you know, turn the Wi-Fi back off. I need to leave the phone downstairs. And I need to go to sleep earlier because then I can get up with ease at 4:45. And the time, the clock, and then it gets everything out the way. Because what happens, anybody who likes working out knows, when you miss it, you start feeling guilty. You start thinking, oh, I've missed my workout. And then you start feeling resentful that you got to do other things. You think, I'm not getting anything done for myself here. Well, that's a wonderful time to do it in the early hours, you know, get up and then you'll be ready for bed. So look, you know, I'm writing something all about the brain. And it was this that I thought, this is great to partake to everybody because it falls in with what everything I'm talking about. So every time you have a thought, your brain releases chemicals, and that is how your brain works. You have a thought, your brain releases the chemicals. The electrical transmission goes across your brain. That's with your neurons. It's an electrical thing. And you become aware of what you're thinking. You become aware of it. How many of you have just been, you know, not concentrating or not thinking of anything, and suddenly bad thoughts come in your head? You know, look at people with anxiety. Look at, you know what? I always remember my friend Victoria. She said, I hope she's watching this. She'll remember. She said, I was really worried I wouldn't get pregnant. And then I got pregnant and I was really worried all the way through that I would have a miscarriage. And she said, and then when he was born, I was worried about, you know, cot death, stillbirth. I was worried about that all the time. And she says, and then he got to two and I thought, I'm going to kill him myself. Joking about it. But then, you know, they go to school and you worry about their happiness. Well, I hope they're happy. Or then they get to teenage years and all hell lets loose. You know, they turn into these people you don't even know. And, you know, you become loggerheads with them. But, and then, you know, then when they're late in, instead of just thinking, well, they're late, you start thinking they've been murdered. They've had a car accident.
Yeah, you think the worst rather than thinking the best. Let me just speak to that, because you were talking about that before with all of the stuff we're inundated to traumatize us. And I just want to take people back. You guys remember when we went through that series of Matthew 24 every day. And one of the things that gets said here is, I want you to notice this, because I think it applies right now, and especially what Kate was saying. But you remember, Jesus comes out of the temple. He's just pronounced a curse on those in it, the Pharisees. And he said, I'm leaving to you your house desolate. Remember, he went in there the first time and he said, this is my father's house. He's going into the temple. This is my father's house. You've made it a den of thieves, right? It's supposed to be a house of prayer. Then he leaves it to them at the end of Matthew 23. And he says, your house is left desolate. And then as he's coming out, the disciples say, look at the building, because they're still building it. They don't even complete it till right before it's destroyed. And if you go to Matthew 24, he's telling them, because they're asking, you know, when's this going to happen? When's these stones going to be not upon another? When they're going to be thrown down? That's what Jesus has told them. And when is the sign of thy coming, the end of the age or the world? And Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And then he says this, and ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. Isn't that what we're hearing inundated with constantly over the past several years? See that ye be not troubled. Now, Jesus is telling them this there in the first century about what's going to come within that generation. He says it's going to happen in that generation. And he says, you're going to hear about it. You're going to, you know, see all this stuff going on and everything. He says, don't be troubled by it. And don't occupy your thinking with that. Instead, he's got something else for them. They're going to be delivered up. They're going to be testifying before kings and governors, and they're going to testify to the nations, disciple the nations for his namesake. So I think there's a good word in there that we be not troubled. We be not traumatized by things that men want to tell us. We're not to fear man. We're to fear God.
Yeah, absolutely. And just following on from that, Psalm 108, appeal for help against vicious enemies. O God, whom I praise, do not be silent, for the mouths of deceit and wickedness are opened against me. They speak to me with lying tongues. They beset me with words of hate and attack me without cause. In return for my love, they accuse me while I pray for them. They repay me evil for good, hatred for love. So what does that do to you? Well, it doesn't really affect your physical health if you remain in love. I think it's Francis of Assisi, the famous prayer by Francis of Assisi. But imagine what it's doing to them to be so thinking bad things all the time. One of my friends rang me last night when I should have really had the phone switched off because it woke me. But she texted me and then I spoke to her, and it was about, she said, look at your Facebook page. Look what somebody's written on there. And I load up on Instagram and it automatically goes onto Facebook. If people want to write slanderous, rude, nasty, vicious things about me, fill your boots.
It's, yeah, not right.
Because
that's gonna come back on you.
I'm not seeing it. And there's a particular woman, she's followed me for years, and it's nothing to really do with me. It's to do with this other lady, which is, I believe, is why she does it. But you know, it's this lady, for all intents and purposes, is well off and very well off, and should have a wonderful life. What is she doing on a Friday night? She's sitting on a social media platform writing unkind and really slanderous things about people. Who's that affecting? Because
it's only affecting her, but it does influence other people. And that's why I think the Bible says that, you know, we're going to give an answer for every idle word that we speak. The power of life and death is in the tongue. And in this age, it's in our tongue. Our fingers are the extension of our tongue when we're on that chat. Yeah.
So she's got a little club who just, you know, I don't care. But anyway, you know, a company asked me if they could put this slogan on a T-shirt that I always say, the government are not your mommy and daddy and they do not love you. And it says Kate Shimarani, and it's on this T-shirt in the, with this company, and they're selling them. Well, I don't care. Good for them. So I shared it on my social media, and they said, look at her grifting, making money. I don't make any money from it. I'll get a free T-shirt. Incidentally, Tim, you'll be pleased to know I was counting the cracks on my eyelids last night in my blue Sons of Liberty T-shirt. I was wearing my blue Sons of Liberty T-shirt, a sweatshirt, some shorts, my Christmas socks till it was time to go to sleep that I had to take them off once I'd heated up my grounding mat. And I thought, gosh, if there was a fire and anyone rescued me, they'd be like, what is she, a bag lady? Is she homeless? She homeless? Look at all what she's got on. Not one thing matches. But the only thing I had good that was fabulous was my Sons of Liberty T-shirt. But look, so every time we have a mad thought, an unkind thought, a sad thought, our brain releases chemicals and it affects, well, I should say it activates your limbic system in your brain. We'll talk about that in a minute. And so it has a physical effect on you. And when you have a happy, joyful thought, it also has an effect on that limbic system. Well, what does it do? It can change the temperature of your hands, your heart rate, your blood pressure, your breathing, muscle tension. Your hands will get hot and sweaty when you're stressed. Your heart goes faster. Your blood pressure goes up. You might get a headache. You might go dizzy. Your muscles will go tight. Your blood vessels will go tight. This is how they do lie detectors. They measure all these responses by saying things to you that are true and saying stressful lies to you. So if you're having a physical response where your heart is beating faster, then you're having a response on your blood vessels. So it is, you keep on doing that and pushing your blood pressure up, releasing adrenaline and cortisol, you're eventually going to end up with hardening of the arteries, which is not good. So your limbic system, what is it for? It sets the emotional tone of your mind. It filters external events through internal states. It creates emotional coloring on it. Tags events as internally important. Stores highly charged emotions. Modulates motivation. Controls your appetite and sleep cycles. Directly processes the sense of smell and modulates your libido. So it also motivates your limbic system. Is what affects your motivation and your drive. And it helps you to get going in the morning and keeps you going throughout the day. So if you've got an overactive limbic system associated, if you've got an overactive limbic system, it's associated with low motivation. And this is what I noticed in myself. I was starting to have no motivation. I would have a list of things to do and I might accomplish one. I don't see joy in anything anymore, just my dogs. I didn't want to do anything. My daughter and I go in ice skating together. You know, on one of these pop-up ice rings that they bring in the winter and they charge you a fortune. So we're off skating and then we're going to have some dinner here. And I can't think anything worse than going skating in rented boots on a really wet ice rink with a lot of people for 30 minutes with everybody that can't skate. I mean, I used to skate years ago, but yeah, I thought, oh, why did I agree to that? But, you know, I remember years ago when we first bought our children roller skates. We bought them all roller boots, knee pads, elbow pads, everything, and helmets. And we took them to this roller disco. And I laughed so much, my face hurt. I laughed at my son Gabriel, the one who's now 6'8". He was just like, this was a roller disco. He was like Bambi. You know, when Bambi's on the ice, the Disney movie, and it just keeps falling over. He just could not stand. And in the end, it was so funny. I my whole face hurt laughing. And I thought, I don't remember really having that kind of joy at such simple things. Well, that's not simple, watching your kid fall all over the place. But I thought, you know, what's going on here? And it's my limbic system. is too active because of everything that we're seeing. And you might think when you go on social media and you see images of children buried, you might think looking at those images is not doing anything to you, but it is having a profound effect on you. So you've got to ask yourself, am I of any help to my own family, to myself, and to those people by making my limbic system overactive, and then everything else begins to falter?
Let me ask something about that, because I've talked about people who are, you know, some people pride themselves that they're quote unquote political junkies. And I think junkie is a good term for those people. It's almost like if they're not involved in that on a daily basis, even some of them by an hourly basis, that's where they kind of get their endorphin rush, if you will, that I see. And there are other people who seem to be information junkies. It's not so they can necessarily apply something and do something about it. It's so they can have information and they can get it so they can spew out what they know, but they don't know what to do with it. And I think this is part of the problem we're dealing with both in the UK and in the US, is that people get information. They may have the right information, and they start just telling people about the information, but they're not really doing anything about it. And I think that's really what Bradley gets at. That a lot of people have knowledge about things, but they're not doing anything. They're not.
What are they doing with it?
To push. Yeah. What are we doing with it?
What did I do when I had cancer?
Is that not just as bad as a little part of water that doesn't get any movement? It becomes stagnant. Or yeah. A person who doesn't go to the bathroom, they become constipated. It does have this effect on you to make you toxic in your mind, doesn't it?
Well, it does, because if you think about it, you're pushing it out there with no solutions. And so you're adding and compounding it. And so what happens is people become more this limbic system, and they don't know what to do about it. And then what do? You saw a man go and, if it happened, you know, it was on social media, killed a child, stabbed a child to death that he knew because of their, I think, because of where they were from. Or I can't remember whether they were Jewish or whatever it was, or Palestinian, I can't remember, but the child got killed. The mother and the child got attacked. So you're not doing anything about it. No one, I had cancer and I was absolutely incensed. I can't tell you when I began to read about the Rockefeller medical industry. And then I, you know, realized everything I'd been taught was a lie. And I then looked at my entire practice. What was I actually doing? Yes, I was washing people and, you know, making beds and helping them do the things they couldn't. But the rest of the entire system, they weren't being fed properly. They were given medications that were keeping them sick. And they were then coming back with more illnesses because of the medications and the vaccines. I was absolutely incensed, enraged, and it was doing me no good because I was just sad. So that was when I remember my ex-husband, he said, you know, it won't be forever, you'll be doing this therapy. And he said to me, it was one morning, you know, 4:45, I'd got up, gone in the bathroom, done my enema. It was 5:30 now, and I was downstairs getting everything ready to get the kids ready to get them out the door for 7:20, and I was so tired. And he said, you know, it will go quick the next 2 years, and then you'll be helping others. He said, everything you're learning, you can help others. And I always remember him saying that. And that is what I've done. That is what I've done. And that's what brings me the most joy. So when that limbic overactivity starts because of everything that you're seeing, it's associated with depression. It frequently results in decreased sexual interest. So when you've got married couples who pitch up and they've got problems and their relationships in trouble, what does the counselor do? They just sit there and listen. What do you do if you've got a problem with depression? You go to a doctor who sits in the corner of the room, the psychiatrist, and he just tells you what he thinks. And actually, Dr. Daniel Amen, who I'm going to try and get a hold of and interview him, he scanned people's brains and he saw the limbic system being overactive on these scans with all these symptoms associated. So I think people, you've got to be really careful. Research has demonstrated that females on average have a larger limbic system than males. This gives females several advantages and disadvantages. Because of their larger limbic brain, women are more in touch with their feelings. Well, we know that. Women are emotive. Men are pragmatic. more pragmatic, and they generally are better able to express their feelings than men. We see a huge portion of, much greater portion of men will commit suicide. They have an increased ability to bond and to be connected to others, which is why women are usually the primary caretakers of children. And there's no society on earth where men are primary caretakers of children. Yeah, there aren't. But now we've got this fake society where we've got all this LGBTQ and men. Oh, I'm now a mother. I mean, don't even get me started on that. We've now got the online harm bill. You can go to jail for upsetting them, and you can go to jail in this country for not using the right pronouns. Well, I'm just not going to use any of your pronouns. I'm just going to talk to you without even saying your name, what you are. If you say, you need to use my pronoun. No, I don't. I'm not going to say anything. I'm just going to say the sentence I've got to say to you. That's it. So I'm not entering into that one.
Yeah. And we're not, and again, we're not talking about people who've been put in that situation through some no fault of their own, if they're a single parent or whatever. But the fact of the matter is, even they would probably acknowledge that the norm is for the man and woman to be married, to have children. This has been historically true in all kinds of cultures, that you can't, you know, that culture isn't going to last if mom and dad aren't, you know, staying together, having those children and raising them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord is the way they're instructed to do. Kate, we got a quick question here. It's I know it's related to this, but, and somebody's already answered somewhat in the chat, but Anon asked, if the heart is not a pump, does the increased pulse therefore come from extra electrical activity, and the heart just acts as a regulator or valve to direct the flow? I think it's more than that, but
think about it. Hang on a minute. Come here, Nelly.
Because the scripture, I just wrote about this the other day, the scripture even references the heart as the seat of our will, our desire, our emotions. All of that is right there when it's talking about that. That's why you hurt in your chest when you're grieved, or you feel the joy come out.
Yeah, you can have a physical pain, physical pain to grief, and you can die of that physical pain. You can die, they say, of a broken heart, and that does happen. What happens if the heart isn't a pump? Let's say you're walking through a wood and it's nighttime and you start thinking about scary movies, and you start thinking about the horror movies, Halloween, those horror movies that people watch when, and then all of a sudden you hear a twig crack. You're not walking fast. You've not changed your rate and your rhythm of the speed and the depth of what, you know, running, nothing, but your heart starts beating really quickly because it's a chemical response. The enzymes in our body are spirals, and they are responsible for all chemical activities. And what do they sit in? They sit in water, and we are mostly water. And what is our DNA responsible for? Photon, phonon, light and sound transmission, reception. The power of your mind is incredible, incredible. And it was written in scripture. I was reading that, you know, King James was a Freemason. And that's why I've kind of moved away from reading that, because they've a lot of stuff's been taken out. But you are so powerful with what you think and what you speak. So that's how it happens. From a chemical, you've got the sinoatrial node, where the electrical impulse begins, and it goes over the atrium of the heart, then the ventricles by the bundle of His, the Purkinje fibers, and it causes the atriums to squeeze and then the ventricles to squeeze. Thud lob, thud lob, thud lob. And of course, if you can have lots of things that affect that, chemicals, digitalis, the plant, it affects your heartbeat. And that's where they get the digoxin from, the drug that they were used to slow your heartbeat. Well, there's a lot of other things that can affect your heartbeat. 5G. 5G will affect it. And we see that everywhere. So this is why when someone is electrocuted, they'll come into the emergency room. They have to go up to coronary care to have their heart paced because it's gone out of normal rhythm. So, you know, you've got to be really careful. All connected. Is it Fleming's left-hand rule? To do with the physics.
Yeah. Look, you know, one of the things that I had out just yesterday, I was trying to bring it up here, is, you know, when you're talking about the heart there, is what this Center for Biofield Sciences, they declared that the use of that X39 patch that we were talking about, that it started cardiovascular systems changes for the better inside of 3 months, like within 6 weeks, they were seeing improved things with the heart. But when
I'm wearing mine.
Yeah.
All of them on.
Yeah, same. but when we go back to what scripture talks about those things with our emotions, the seat of our will and all of this kind of stuff, that's coming right out of there. So again, you know, when you start thinking about how we've been toxic, even this affects these organs and the other things that we have, so that we cannot fully be what we should be or what you know, God's created us to be in that. And so I see that parallel. I see that joining together of how the body, you know, because there were the guys who would separate out and say, well, the body's really bad and the spirit's what good and the spirit needs to be released. Well, one day it is going to be released. There's no doubt about that. But the Bible says that the body's good too. It's going to find its place to put, you know, we're going to take it off and we're going to put on something incorruptible. That's true. But while we're here, I was listening to a guy the other day, and he was talking to me. He says, oh, Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was going to say, people ought to watch not only the DNA Pirates of the Spiral,
Sacred Spiral,
but the other one, the gas thing. It's based on his other book that has the mural of the Denver airport on it.
Yeah, and I have all his books.
That one is mind-blowing. I'll throw both of those up in the archive. So if you guys want to check them out, and then you'll see those later on today. And then as well as the bonus videos, because I throw bonus videos in there. If you go to the archive, it's just got a bunch of different.
That's Pirates of the Sacred Spiral.
Yes.
With a birthday gift from an ex-boyfriend. And it's my favorite book. And also Healing Codes for the Biological Apocalypse. Yes. It's when you start to see it, you can't unsee it.
You can't unsee it. And he's doing the same thing. He's bringing what they learn in science. And I think real science is the study of creation. So they're thinking God's thoughts after him. That's why I was amazed to listen to David Schmidt. But this guy's very much like Schmidt. He's talking about scripture.
And friends.
Yeah. And he takes the scripture and he's putting it to what they've discovered. And it works together. It's not like these guys trying to take evolution and do that kind of thing. They're actually taking what's actually going on and they're seeing how scripture applies to it. It's absolutely fascinating.
It is. So that limbic system, it's responsible for sadness, clinical depression, increased negative thinking, negative perception of events, a flood of negative emotions such as hopelessness. People are feeling that right now. Helplessness, they're feeling that. Guilt, which all of these then lead to appetite and sleep problems, decreased or increased sexual responsiveness, social isolation, and pain. And it can also, it can affect, you know, everything, your bonding with your children, everything. Now, we all know people who, you know, they always say you have drains or radiators in life. We all know that one person who comes to the party and everybody moves away from them. You know, everything's, when you say to them, oh, how are you? They go, oh, terrible. This has happened. This has happened. This has happened. Everyone knows me in my local supermarket. When they say, as you go through the checkout, how are you? And I always say, I'm great. I'm always great. And you know, they actually say to me now, the staff go, you are. You're always pleasant. You always smile. And you always say that. And I said, doesn't everyone else? They go, no. So you see, and then I said to them, you're in a privileged position because for some people, the only time someone speaks to them the whole day is at the checkout in the supermarket. But we all know those people that are you know, just miserable all the time. So we mustn't just say, oh gosh, it's misery guts. You know, misery loves company. We have to try and look further. And this is where we need to try and forgive and throw love at it. Throw lots of love at it, because they might have had something happen in their life. And then now in that spiral, gosh, the rain's coming down. And they might not be eating properly. They might be eating a really poor diet.
Yeah.
They might be, you know, not have got themselves into a vicious cycle, because then they can't sleep, so they're not having enough sleep. And so just by helping them simply, you know, maybe, you know, calling them in the morning and saying, do you want to meet for a we'll go and do our shopping together, coffee. Yeah. That actually gets people out of bed.
Kate, hang on just a second. We'll let you carry over for as long as you want after this. Guys, if you want to catch Bradley at 3, he'll be on sonsoflibertymedia.com. And then have a great weekend, great Lord's Day. We're going to carry over with Kate. Be sure to open up your home for hospitality, spur one another on to love and good works, and we'll see you bright and early, Lord willing, at 6 a.m. on Monday. Adios. Okay, want to welcome everybody coming over. You know, Kate was talking about planning out things, and you think about things before you're going to sleep, and even as you're getting up, you're kind of setting. And I do some of that, and that's why But my plans are nothing without Christ, because we, as Casper and I were speaking about yesterday, you know, we can set all the plans in the world. James tells us that's why we should say, if the Lord wills, we'll do this and that. So we should always be conscious that it's not us directing the path. It's not us working with the arm of the flesh, so to speak, but it is God working in us to will and to do his good pleasure if he wills that we do it. And so keep that in mind as you're thinking about those things. I know some people get into, you know, setting their imagination up sort of as God, as to what they're projecting. And I think we need to be careful about that we go in the direction led by the Spirit of God, which we're only going to get from the Scripture. And I want to pop these in and then let Kate pick up with her thought. But the Scriptures are very clear. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. You know, Jesus said it wasn't what went into the man that defiled him, it was what was coming out of him. And this is why the things that we say do have importance. And then, you know, one that we've referenced quite often is what Paul wrote to the Philippians. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth, and that's the instruction we're given from the Scriptures. So, Kate, I interrupted you there just to shut off the thing, but I want to give it back to you.
Yeah, so what can we actually do? And there are quite a few things we can do, and this is what you've got to be. And when you're saying about as God wills, we've also got to be aware that some of those thoughts that come into your head are not from the right place. I'm having a big niacin flush now. Can you see it? I'm starting to go really purple.
Yeah, you're looking really red.
Yeah. It's moving across me. I love the feeling. You go bright red and really hot. Some people don't like it, but I like it. So, you know, the first thing you've got to do is you've got to be aware of those thoughts. Supplements and medications, zinc is a good supplement. There's lots of different supplements. I'm more than happy for people to come to me for personalized programs. I also can direct people to see a psychiatrist who's excellent. Actually, I know two fantastic ones, one for adolescents and one for adults. Well, he sees adolescents as well. But Dr. Ali Ajazi, who you've had on the program, amazing, because he will only do drugs short term and works very much on nutrition. He's fantastic. Surrounding yourself with people who provide positive bonding. You know, be with people. What happens is when we stop hugging, it feels awkward to hug. So hug everybody. Everybody. That's the best way to get over that one, is make yourself do it and start hugging everyone. Yeah. Till it then becomes really nice. I do it to everyone now. And you know, even if it's just a little hug, the cats get fed up. I hug them. Nellie's here. Nellie sleeps in my bed. People go, that's disgusting. Because sometimes she's got fleas. I don't care. I really like it. Incidentally, always sleep with your window open. I sleep with my window open all year round. And it gets cold in my room, but I'm generally in bed with a t-shirt, sweatshirt. Sometimes I've been known to wear full jogging suit. And when I have Nellie in the bed, she gets in when it starts to get really cool. She gets in the bed. It's like having a little hot water bottle spooning me. And she puts her 4 feet on me. Her parts of her feet are on me. So she's getting her feet warmed. And then the other little one, Rafi, he curls up right in my neck, right there where it's nice and warm. So I don't really care. I don't care what anyone says.
That's funny.
I don't care. I'm happy with it. So my limbic system's doing well. So what you can do as well, you know, you find people with the same things that you do. If you're hanging out with people that eat loads of junk food, drink alcohol, take drugs, smoke, and you're trying to give all that up, it's going to be very difficult if you're still hanging around with them. So you need to be very careful. Find your purpose.
Bad company corrupts good morals, right?
Yeah, I'm going really red now. Look, woo! I'm having a big old flush.
You look like you had a suntan.
Yeah.
No, actually, a sunburn.
Yeah. So the other thing to remember is finding something that you really like doing. The one thing that switches my mind off is when I dance. But what happened is I got so busy, I started missing my dance class again. So I went back to it. And so what I've started doing is making sure again that I don't book anybody for the day that I go to my dance class. And if I really can't get it in, I'm going to have a couple of private lessons. But find something that you like doing. Find your passion and do it. And do random acts of kindness. I think I might have told you last week, my mother sent these two tops back from Australia that I bought her ages ago. And she sent them back. So off I went to the store. £75 for these two tops, over $100, with a tag on them, and I couldn't return them, and I couldn't take a credit because they were from months and months and months ago. So she said, "Oh, you can put them in that box over there, and you know it'll go to the charity or whatever." And I turned around, there was a lady in the queue, and she was, I think, 84 or 85. And I went up to her. She looked rather large. And I said, "Excuse me, madam, are you a size 18? She said, "I am." I said, "Would you like these two tops? I bought them as a gift and I can't return them now." And she went, "Oh my gosh, let me give you something." I went, no, not at all. And I said, "Just have them and enjoy them." She went, "Oh, thank you so much. Oh, that's made my day." I gave her a great big hug. And I walked out of that store feeling really pleased with myself. They were in a package that had my home address on them. And when I then came back from being away somewhere, I can't remember, I think it was Spain, when I was in Spain, there was a little card from this old lady saying thank you and how delighted she was. And it was so lovely. And do you know, that was like receiving something all over again. And I've still got the card and I've left it where I can see it. And it was from a local artist in Brighton. And I thought, gosh, what a lovely thing that she took the time to write me a thank you letter. So that's all feeding my soul. A random act of kindness. And when you give something away, you'll get more back. Now, I'm very lucky. I get so many freebies. It pays to be a dissident, I'll tell you, and a grifter, apparently. You know, I've just been to America. I've been to Spain. I've been to Derbyshire. But I also get lots of freebies. Anyway, I went for a business meeting yesterday. And as I came out, the gentleman said, "Do you like olives?" I said, "Oh, yes, I love olives." He said, "I'll come to your car with something." He came out to my car with two cases, black olives and green olives.
Wow.
Jars from Greece in Celtic sea salt.
Wow.
Oh, gosh, they are divine. So I called up my friend Katrina straight away and I said, "Would you like 12 jars of olives?" And I said, you know, and she went, "What? Where have you had those?" I went, "Gifted to me." So I generally, when I get things like that, I split it with Katrina. If I get food like that and things given to me, I always split it with her. And, you know, always, I was going to say it would take me ages to get through 24 big jars of olives, but it probably won't because I really like them. I mean, I had 2/3 of a jar straight away as soon as I got home. I opened that jar and I was straight in there with a fork. Oh my gosh, they're pittered. They're delicious.
Oh yes.
I love them. Make a little bit of your own bread with you know, non-hybridized wheat, little bit of olive oil, little bit of balsamic vinegar, olives in a little bowl and your bread and you dip it in. Oh.
Just fax some of that over to the Brown House.
Yeah. No, because we know it costs too much money.
Oh, we do. Oh, trust me. I went with all those little good Southern goodies down here, and it was going to be $100, like $97.
Yeah.
And I,
do you remember
I was like,
I sent you that big goodie box for your daughter and you and. Oh my gosh, I'm not even going to tell you how much that's sent.
I was just like, this. That is just absolutely crazy. So yeah.
So we can't do that. But look, acupuncture is good. So is surrounding yourself with nice soothing scents. If you're going to do it, You can get one of these little ceramic where you put a candle in. Don't put it anywhere where the pets can knock it off or children can get to it. And you put a little bit of water in the top. Doesn't need electricity. Don't need any fancy gadgets. It's like a little ceramic thing with a reservoir on the top. You put your candle inside. And I think I can't remember what they're called. I've got one. And get some clean. I think doTERRA oils are clean. But lavender has been proven to cause you to relax and affect your limbic system. So I have, I've just had to dig them all up because they got too leggy, but I'm replanting loads of lavender plants as you walk to my front door, because you get the bumblebees around them as well. They're wonderful. But I'm hopefully going to be then, once it starts, making my own lavender oil. But lavender oil is so wonderful. Now, you've got to be aware of those thoughts. So if you're sitting there watching the TV with your mouth open, the Idiot's Lantern, or just listening to the music and you never have any quiet time, or you know, you've got to be mindful when these come into your head. You've got to get something, which a way of dealing with it. So when, you know, you can't do that, oh, you're rubbish, or you're fat. I mean, think about it. If you're saying to yourself, I'm fat, you're going to be fat, because you're telling your brain, and you're releasing chemicals that are going to make you what? They're going to make you eat. You're going to get yourself fat. So what you have to do is you have to repeat good things, kind things, keep repeating them. Put images around that you like looking at. I love Francis Assisi's prayer. You know, I absolutely love it. And I've been looking everywhere. If anyone finds one, please tell me. I want to have a big one on canvas, a big, big one, so that everybody that, you know, every time I go up the stairs or down the stairs, I want to see it on the wall at the top of my stairs. And, you know, it's wonderful telling us, you know, replace everything that's bad with good. Well, you need to do that in your head as well. So if that thought comes in, you need to find a way that will work for you. Replace it with something good. And everything will come back, and everything will come back. So what you eat, don't forget sleep. You cannot have a good brain without sleep. Do you know, it actually, and the other thing is, your brain gets smaller the fatter your behind gets. Your brain gets smaller. You literally are going to have the dinosaur thing where you've got a little tiny brain.
Why is that?
Ask me next week.
Okay.
Ask me next week and I'll have it all right, reeled off for you beautifully, because this is what I've been learning for lectures. But you've got to be, you know, mindful of that. That if you're fat, so all these people, body positivity. Well, there is a certain, yeah, you've got to be body positive, but stop ramming down everybody's throat that being morbidly obese is okay.
Right.
It isn't okay.
Sure.
It's wrong. It's gluttony for a start.
Yeah.
But I have never, ever, ever met a healthy person who is obese. It's just not true. Even infertility goes up when you're obese. The very act of being able to conceive in a way that you want to with your partner becomes very limited if either of you are very fat. And I know that because people have told me.
I'll tell you something that I learned this week. This is a little caveat on the. Does anybody know why they call it a honeymoon? I've always wondered that, and I learned it the other week. Do you know? When the man and woman used to get married, it was thought in the cultures that they would take honey before they consummated the marriage, and it was supposed to be this kind of fertility thing. But that was, it was kind of, it reminded me, it was very reminiscent of Jacob and Rachel, where she comes and she says, you know, give me children. And he goes, who am I? You know, talk to the Lord about that. But then she goes and she asks for the mandrakes, because she's going to get Jacob to herself for the night. And she wants mandrakes, and the mandrakes act as either or, like an aphrodisiac and some kind of fertility for the body. And I've seen in other cultures that some of the elders, would talk about that. But they also had certain drugs that would break down the uterine wall, or not drugs, but they were natural things that actually broke down the uterine wall too, and things of that nature. So I know they're within nature, these kinds of things exist. So, but it was just kind of interesting to learn that they took a spoonful of honey, and it was, you know, before consummation, in hopes of a pregnancy. Now, how that works, I don't know, but I found it interesting that I learned about that.
Oh, it's wonderful. In Persian culture, when they have a wedding, they have this whole tradition where they sit and they do this thing with this block of like sugar thing. It's wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. I don't know. As we go down the aisle, I do, he does, we do, or you go to a registry office. But I love all the old culture. So look, you know, the feeling of guilt, you've got to get rid of that because it's not helpful. And this is what Dr. Daniel Amen, here's a few examples when bad thoughts come in. There's nothing to do. So what you could say is there's probably lots of things to do if I think about it for a while. No one will ever want to date me. I've actually said that so many times. Joking. But my brain doesn't know I'm joking. And so now what, you know, you can replace that with that silly, be patient and put myself in situations where I can meet people. Well, what I say now is, of course they want to date me. I'm fabulous. God's just preparing somebody for me that's perfect.
Amen. That's right. That's right.
And, you know, someone doesn't like me. I don't know that. Maybe they're just having a bad day. What do people say all the time? Oh, I'm so stupid. Oh, I'm so dumb. They even say it joking. Don't ever say that. Sometimes I do things that aren't very smart, but I'm not stupid. That's what you should be saying. And blaming. Oh my gosh. Blaming others. We all know that person who takes no responsibility. You cannot learn. You cannot move forward if you do not own your doo-doo. So you don't blame others. Never. I need to look at my part in the problem and look at the ways that I can make the situation better. Because it takes two. It takes two to tango. And, you know, I you know, spent years blaming my husband for everything. It took me a long time. The grief of my divorce came several years after we'd split up. And then it hit me. And it was grief like I've never experienced in my life. And all of that, of getting to the bottom of it, I found it. And I finally understood it when I began to research and look at the limbic part of the brain and why that happens. It's quite incredible. So we have to own what we do. And we have to look at that. I mean, there's nothing more ugly than two people getting divorced and how terrible they can be. So, the bottom line of this is you've got to get into today's show, get in your head. And to get in your head, you need to have a plan. Fail to plan to fail. If you're relying it all on, oh, tomorrow's another day, I'll see how it rolls, it won't roll very well. And you've got a plan. You've got a plan and stick to it. Stick to it rigidly. Think about it like, you know, when you were at school and you had your timetable. You need to do that in your life. And then you will fit everything in. We've got lots of hours where we're awake that we should be doing things. And, you know, really, if you're you look back to my younger days when I'd be out partying, nightclubbing till 2 a.m. And then we'd get home at 3 a.m. And these were in the days, you know, in the 80s. And my mother said she used to hear us. My friend would always stay at my house because it was cheaper, the taxi, just before I started my nurse training. And I remember I was 18. And my mother said she would hear us coming with our high heels, with the steel bit on the bottom of the heel, clip clop, clip clop, clip clop. Then she'd hear us rattling in the door. She said, and then I would wait, she would wait and she'd hear the microwave ping. We'd be eating at two, three in the morning. We'd have a milky coffee with sugar in it, white sugar. Then we'd be in the fridge. Then we'd be making toast and grilled cheese. I mean, oh, and we'd get to bed at about 4 a.m. And then my mother would wake. This is terrible. My mother would wake us at about 12:45 to have our Sunday dinner. And then my friend and I would be sitting there half dead like corpses. And then she would go home on the bus and I would just go back and have a sleep. So you'd lose a whole day.
Well, yeah, the dead doing what the dead do. You were talking about the issue of the shame. I was thinking about that and the guilt and think that, look, let's drive this right where we really want to go. And that is when you're talking about getting inside your head, you're talking about turning those things around. You're talking about repentance.
Yeah.
And this is what we communicate through the gospel, is calling men away from the sinful, immoral lifestyle that they're living. And some people say, well, no, I got it together. Let me tell you something. Some of the most dramatic and incredible conversions are among people who've had it all together. Let's take Paul, for example. What did he say? I mean, he says, you couldn't find anything on me, man. I was keeping the law externally. You couldn't point the finger at me. I was the Jew of Jews. I was from the tribe of Benjamin. I was from, you know, I was Pharisee of Pharisees, all this stuff. And I kept the law. But what really got him was what was going on inside. He said, that covetous one, that's not an external thing. That's something going on inside. And so there has to be a change inside. And the one to take away shame, guilt, and the only one who can repair the relationships, like in marriages or, you know, in other relationships that we have with other people, is the Lord Jesus. He's the only one who can do it. And so, yes, it's going to be manifest in us. There's no doubt about that. But I go back to what the scripture says. It says God works in us both to will, that's the want to, and to do, that's the action, right? So our faith without works is dead. So if we have faith that demonstrates, if we have works that demonstrate our faith, that comes from God. It doesn't come inside of us. Paul says that he was dead. It was Christ who lived in him. And so if you don't know this Christ who does this, I encourage you, get in your Bibles. Your Bible, putting that in one form of reading, listening to it, whatever the case is, we've got to have clean minds and clean hearts. And only God can clean the heart. David prayed, create in me a clean heart. Beat the dirt out of me. I mean, that's what he's praying to God after his sin. And making me a clean heart and renewing me a right spirit. And the Bible says that God is, you know, he opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And today, listen, if you hear this message, the biggest thing you can hear about Jesus from a lot of people, but is it this Jesus that saves you from your sin, that removes your shame and guilt, that makes you a child of God, that gives you a new birth, that makes you a new creation? If it's not that Jesus and he's calling you away from sin and towards holiness, it's not the Jesus of the Bible. So get time to be in there. Kate, we're going to give you the final word here.
Yeah, and that's 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. That's not just on a Sunday when you go to church, part-time Christians.
Amen.
You know, we've got a lot of those, virtue signalers. It's about doing it, getting your head, get control of your life. And scripture teaches you that. Not to be a runaway train. Nothing good will come of it. Be disciplined. Be disciplined. And it's that discipline, getting in your head and being disciplined with everything. You know, think about, I said something last night to my friend. And then afterwards, when I hung up the phone, we were talking about this thing on Facebook. One of the sentences I said, I thought, why did I say that? I didn't need to say that. That was unnecessary. And so even a little bit of reflection. And then I thought, I'm not going to say anything like that again. It doesn't need to be said. It didn't need to be said at that time. So you know, you've got to be mindful with what you say. And I'm just going to give everybody a little, and I'm on the TNT tomorrow talking about hearing. I'm sure here they are. Look, Dave and Lulu. There's Dave.
Well, they could be twins
almost. And that's his sister Lulu. She's the fat one at the moment. And he's asleep on my computer bag, look. Dave, he's not looking his best lately. Yeah, he's even doing silently out. You know, he's lost a lot of weight, but he's quite happy. He's having sardines, chicken. He's had everything. We're keeping him going. But I think they're 14 years old, the two of them.
Wow.
Coming up for 14. Or are they 13? I forget. No, they're definitely coming up for 14.
Incredible. Incredible.
Yeah, because I got them in 2012 and they were already, at the end of 2012, they were already about a year, just coming up for a year old. They were just abandoned. And the postman told me about them and a delivery woman told me about them. So I went and got them. And somebody had moved out and then the landlord had bolted up the cat flap. So they were just left. And Dave happily jumped in the pet carrier because there was food in there. Lulu, she took a little bit of time. She took about a week to catch, and then we got her. And so I've had them ever since. And Dave and Lulu, after the lady that locked Lulu in her cat flap, their names were Dave and Lulu. So I named the cats after them. Anyway, Thank you so much. And I'm sorry I wasn't there last week, but for people who don't know,
you had some bit of good news out of that. So
did my son Sebastian came to my home to collect a couple of things, musical instruments, and I made him some bread to take with him, and he went to his sister's flat and they all ate the bread, which was nice. They toasted it. And I sent him some photographs the next day of one of his favorite places because I was there. And he sent me a text back and said, you know, that was lovely. And thank you so much for the bread. So yeah, everything's fine. So you see, I didn't need to say anything about anything that had been done. It's between him and the Lord. But you know, and I've prayed every single day, prayed for my son every single day. And I knew that eventually it would all work out.
Amen. And it will. Amen. Amen. Overcome evil with good, right? That's what we're supposed to do.
Yeah, that is. That's exactly what we're going to do. Yep. So we're going to get in our heads. All of this about get out your head. Well, yeah, you should in some ways get out your head, but you need to get in your head first to make sure it's working, doing what you can. So next week, I'll be telling you whether I managed every day to get up at 4:45, do everything that I was meant to do. I will. I am going to do it. It's already. Put that out there.
Amen. Amen. All right. Kate Shimarani, thank you so much as always. Hang on and I'll say goodbye to you off air. Guys, catch Bradley at 3 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Central, sonsoflibertymedia.com. And then Lord willing, we're going to be back with you on Monday, 6 a.m. Again, get with the people of God this weekend. Open up your home. Provide a meal to somebody. Get out there and meet some people. Spur them on to love and good works. And you can tell my house is getting full. All of my kids are here. And so we're going to have a good weekend together. You guys have one too. And then Lord willing, we're going to see you bright and early 6 a.m. Monday morning. Adios.